Techno Progressivo. You are listening to Techno Progressivo on 101.9 CITR in Vancouver.
Welcome to Techno Progressivo. I'm DJ Waugh, and you're listening to 101.9 CITR here in Vancouver. I'm proud to work and live on the unceded territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh Nations. Let's dive into the local scene. I've got an excellent interview feature on tap for you this evening with Vancouver's Cardano, and we will get to that shortly, but first let's check out this episode's track of the week. Local label boss Luke McKeon has been showcasing The Deep on his Nordic Track label for over 20 years. Hopping across the pond, Irish producer Glennie joins the label for another outing. The track is titled Dream from the EP of the same name. Okay, a great track of the week there, Glennie with Dream. That one is out now on Nordic Tracks and can be had wherever you buy your music. On to the feature for tonight's episode. Local product Cardano has had a year and is definitely making a name for himself in the house scene. I was fortunate to be able to interview him a few weeks back to discuss Pete Tong's DJ Academy, Juggling Time, and Talkbox. The lead track here is titled DJ Play Those Records with Jason Hersko on the remix. Full track list can be found on Techno Progressivo's socials. This is DJ Waugh speaking to Vancouver's Cardano. His body of work spans over the past 6 years, plaudits abound as he was recognized as one of Pete Tong's 2024 Future Talent finalists at the Pete Tong DJ Academy. With releases on Stereophonic, Karmic Power, Play Records, and Pop Gang, he's clearly making his mark on the scene. His latest release, Take a Risk, came out in mid-January on his own Fusion Groove Recordings and is available wherever you buy your tracks. It's my pleasure to be speaking to him. This is Cardano. And kicking things off here, how would you currently define your sound, and would you say it's evolved or shifted over time?
I went under another alias, let's say 15 years ago, under an alias named Gigliani, which is similar to my last name, which was more, I would say, aimed to more, I guess, the progressive house sound. Later on down the line, changing over to a more, traditional classic house groove and funky, and feel like my sound hasn't really changed over the past 6 years. Maybe I felt like being the new Cardano sound was a little, I don't want to say mainstream, but it felt like it, but people weren't really saying that. But I feel just kind of working with vocalists made it that way, because some of the songs were traditionally written with like hooks and verses, but more in a dance music way.
Okay, you mentioned early inspiration from Progressive House and then a transition into the Cardano project. For either of those, can you think of two or three tracks that really opened your eyes to this type of music?
Let's say dance music's always been around as a kid. I mean, my brother was a DJ. I have pretty much his record collection now and his 1200s basically sitting in my studio here. But I pretty much got like more of a bug dating a girl. She was playing Deadmau5 all the time. Yeah, this is kind of before even Deadmau5 really had a really big foot in the industry. That was more how I got introduced, I guess, to that sound, right? And then later on, working in cruise ships, I was still more of a hip-hop DJ at the time and more of a hip-hop promoter. Yeah, then working on cruise ships, stopping in Mykonos over and over again, because the cruise ship contract was about 6 months, and I was also DJing on cruise ships, not knowing how to even DJ that well either, and just ate the house bug and looked in more of the history of it.
Thank you.
Okay, now that your focus is primarily the Cardano project, how has the process of building your reputation up as both a DJ and a producer been going for you?
I think there was a little more bumps with the Cardano brand. It was interesting because the Gigliani brand, the first track that I put out was supported by Nicole Mudaber. And this is, I think, the time when Nicole Mudaber had supported me. It was her episode 38 of In the Mood, right? So I don't know a lot about her career, but I know that she was a promoter first. And I think it was more of the time where it was like, you know, she's getting into DJing and stuff. And it was a lot of the house sound she was doing more than I think the techno sound that she's known for now, I would say. But yeah, the Cardano thing was a bit much to transfer, just even figuring out the name, really. It is a cryptocurrency name, but I just put a K on it. And as far as that, yeah, going to Amsterdam and getting a deal with Play Records or everything in dance music is really like kind of one-off licensing deals. But yeah, meeting them kind of helped propel the Cardano brand more, and especially, you know, artists that were on that label like Deadmau5, Jerome Robbins, and Crazy Biza, and some other names, and Melly Fresh, right? So it's like, and Billy, and working with Billy Newton Davis, and kind of helps, I guess, propel the brand a little more, right? I think like 3 years down the road, it's kind of gone. But even just like with the Academy stuff, with Pete Tong, really, I'd say it's given me more of a square thing. And also playing, I mean, this is building up to now, and also playing it at the Hard Rock in Amsterdam, to meeting the A&R from Stereophonic. It's like, it's helped. And I don't know, last year has been more of a thing where it's just like, it's, there's been more gas in the tank.
Okay, let's talk production. When you're making tracks, which DAW are you working with and why?
I use Pro Tools, which seems to get laughed at by some people. I've used Pro Tools since I was like either 17 or 18, and it's just a DAW that I know. I can pretty much do anything in it. I really would not advise people to use it unless I was getting an endorsement deal to say to use it, only because it just doesn't have as much tools as Ableton and Logic. I should probably switch over, but at the end of the day, it matters what you're able to produce, and I'm not into wasting my time to try to relearn something at the moment, considering things are just so busy in my life now, but I'm sure there'll be a time where I'll have to do it.
This is Naz.
This is Dave from Yoluka.
This is Sam Wolf.
Hi, this is Glenn Morrison.
Hey, this is Steve from Fort Knox 5, and you're listening to DJ Wah on Techno Progressivo.
Okay, when you're in the studio, what is your process for making music? Are you inspired and then you go produce, or do you sit at the computer and just try to get inspiration that way?
Yeah, it's pretty much that way. I feel like I do formulated things where it's just like I think of everything as in patterns. I'll make a bass line first and pick a key, right? And I have like chord packages and I just find the root notes of the bass lines I'm playing, which usually happen to be in the pockets where I'm picking one to two different chords. I mean, we're lucky if we're getting to three to four and kind of moving those things around and then drawing in patterns with MIDI with the chords to do like little variations for like breakdowns and all that, that classic, I guess, staccato piano sound of house, right? And adding in melodies after. But yeah, it's just, I just approach the DAW as a blank canvas. We'll be right back.
Okay, your Fusion Groove recordings looks to be about 2 years old. What's the musical policy for the label? And what are the highs and lows of running one?
So I ran a label, Boom Boom Music, at one point. That was during the Giuliani brand era. That kind of came to a halt when creating Cardano because I was wanting to aim myself in one area and concentrate on that. But Fusion Groove's been a lot more of the easier journey than Boom Boom Music because of just technology and all the platforms to just have people come to you rather than you looking for the artists over and over again. But I'd say it's been an easier transition because I'm able to create music faster than I ever have years from the starting years. You know, I can hop in front of my DAW now and make something in 3 days or less and just complete it and just hate every minute of the song and then realizing that it's actually a good song after it's done. Yeah, and I think that's just the problem of a lot of artists that we just don't like what we're doing. But I think if you just let the process spew and finish, and it's not like that with every song, but as long as you just, I think, just finish it, you might end up liking it. You need to let people judge your music rather than yourself, right?
Skyline. Discorder, that free magazine from CITR, has been documenting the best in music, arts, and culture since 1983. Let's see what one man of prestige has to say about Discorder.
What up, though? This is Big Snoop Dogg, and I fucks with Discorder magazine. How about that?
Smoke weed every day.
Pick up a copy around Vancouver or f*** with Discorder online at discorder.ca.
Without the help and support of our friends, we here at CITR wouldn't be able to bring you all the great music, art, cinema, and culture that you love. Thanks to the long-standing support from the Rio Theater, we are able to keep you informed on all the great artists, films, and everything else coming to town there. For all the current information about who and what's playing at the Rio Theater, visit their website at www.riotheater.ca.
You are listening to the Cardano interview here on Techno Progressivo. I'm DJ Waugh, and the station is 101.9 CITR. That half of the interview wrapped up with the track Skyline. Full track list and a selection of Cardano web links can be found on Techno Progressivo socials. Part 2 kicks off with Let the Trumpet Play. Okay, moving on over to DJing here. What are some standout gigs for you, and what made them so special?
I mean, Destino Patra is probably the most special gig I played, and it was like in September, so the season of Ibiza was slowing down, but the day that I played was after Marco Carlo's night. So it's like everyone was really burnt out at the hotel. So it was like I was playing to like maybe 100, 200, 300 people or so in just like one area. And it's just people were just burnt out. But to me, it's like the music that I play, I like really playing like a really loungy sound and something laid back and funky and groovy. So it was super fun to me anyways. I just feel some people just like, oh, it's like, I don't want to. It's not enough for me. I enjoy every minute of it, right? So that's one gig that stands out to me, and just even the hard rock one from meeting the Stereophonic A&R, because I kind of didn't want to be at ADE. I've been to that conference so many times, so it's just, I'm just like, nah, I don't want to go. But, you know, when you end up going, you end up getting things that happen.
Okay, I mentioned at the start that you're one of the top talents in 2024 at Pete Tong's DJ Academy. Is that something you paid to go into, or were you recruited for it?
I paid to go into it. It was one of those things where I was on the film strike. We had a film strike, okay. And I was just like, oh, it's the time to make a living DJing, I guess, for until things come back. And I think it's probably the most I made from DJing 1 year. It was about, I think I made like 20K that year DJing, but you know, it's not enough. But I got so many ads. And I was just like, kind of looking like, okay, looking at the last year's competition, I'm like, cool. I'm like, I can get in this and probably do something decent, especially that I don't have a job, but you know, there's enough money in me to sort of pass at least a year without having any money. I'm like, I can just be in my studio all day and do all the exercises. And I think I completed the course is something like, I think 30 hours of footage. And I completed it within like 2 days or something like that. Just because I'm so used to just doing things in long hours with film, right? So I sat there doing it, and then you just participate on their stuff. And that's how I ended up getting like the Feature Talent Award thing, or these being the finalists per se, to get these different opportunities to play different renowned clubs every now and again. But it's the Academy, even if you're like the top tier of DJs, you're still kind of participating to audition to play some of these places, and some of them are handed to you, but a lot of the time it's like auditioning to do it.
How do you approach programming your DJ sets? Is there some idea in mind where you're going to go before you get started, or are you content just to play to the floor?
It all depends. If the set goes 3 hours and longer, I prepare everything through genre. And that's just from like meticulous to be like deep house to tech house, garage, but not like, I guess, the traditional garage sound, more like the housey sound of garage. But obviously, I pick some of full out garage stuff, disco, jack and house, all those genres get into their own folders and record box from start to mid in that genre. So I can, with a 3 hour set, I can just switch those genres. And if I'm only going to play like an hour to 2 hour set, everything goes into a start to mid and high folder. And the genres just get mixed together really through energy. That's how I go about it.
Looking into that crystal ball, where do you want to continue to take this as you go forward in production and DJing?
I mean, as far as it is, this year is interesting because I don't think I've had so many dates just set up over and over before time, knowing and just a big lineup of things, which I should probably post. I'm not too much of like the social media kid like everyone else to just let everyone know what I'm doing every minute, which I probably should be. But yeah, it's just to fill up the calendar and get more gigs. And I don't want to say make a bit better living, but yes, make a better living, because I work in the film business, working how many hours out of the evening, and it's just hard to concentrate on teaching after that, after like doing almost a 70-hour work week, right? So it's just like I really want to focus on doing the music rather than I'm doing a second job that's taking 70 hours out of my life, which is taking me away from my family and my three children, versus if I was making a certain amount, then I wouldn't be in the film business cramming my way and throwing microphones on people's bodies and touching them in ways they don't want to be touched.
This is Dave Dresden from Gabriel and Dresden.
This is Nala.
Hey, this is Lebelski.
This is Niels Hoffman.
Hi, this is Mark Knight, and you're checking out Techno Progressivo.
Wrapping up here, is there anything you want to promote right now?
At the moment, I got approached by a random guy who's starting an event company called Oddity Project. This guy does not want to say anything of who they are, and we're just helping them out to do this project along with another DJ in town named Lawrence, but we're told this guy just does not want to give up his identity at all. And yeah, that's it at the moment. And I have a new single coming out on Fusion Groove, my own label, called Natural, which is more of the talk box thing that I'm doing that I've done in the past, and there's still a couple more of those to release. And what else? A gig in Toronto and some upcoming gig in Seattle, and some talk of possibly playing the Wiggle Room in Toronto as well. So some gigs coming up at Gorg, and I might have something at Celebrities again. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Your puppet awaits me.
This has been Cardano. A selection of his tracks can be found on Beatport, Apple Music, Spotify, Juno Download, and Bandcamp. A full list of his web links can be found on Techno Progressivo's socials. Thank you very much for doing this.
A stack of records here, a stack of records there. I got records scattered all over everywhere, but I'm looking.
Discorder Magazine has been supporting independent music for over 30 years, and it keeps on living by joining efforts with local music supporters such as Vinyl Records. You can find a selection of Vinyl Records' featured albums on the back cover of Discorder and can support your favorite local bands and artists by purchasing their records. For more information on their vast selection of new, used, and rare music, go to vinylrecords.ca.
We are all done for another episode of Techno Progressivo. Thank you so much to Cardano for agreeing to interview and for gifting me a copy of his latest track, Natural, which closed out the episode. It was a pleasure to interview him. Some more great local talent on display. Full track list and a selection of Cardano web links can be found at Techno Progressivo's socials. Head over there to find out more about the mind behind the music. If you've enjoyed the show and want to hear it again, visit the Techno Progressivo show page at CITR.ca or Apple Podcasts to give this one another spin, or to hear more great guest mixes and interviews from days gone by. Keep up to date with Techno Progressivo. Follow our socials, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and SoundCloud. Attic Jams is up next on the station. Stick around to see what they've got in store for you tonight. Before we go, let's do as we always do and set the controls in the time machine for this episode's track from the past. We're going to up the cheese factor for an absolute classic from Seamus Hadji and Emmanuel. Hopping back 20 years to 2005, the track is Weekend. Enjoy it, and I'll see you back here next time.